Summer of the 17th Doll by Ray Lawler premiered in Melbourne in November 1955, and it was an immediate hit. Within 2 years, it had a hit season in London and had been made into a movie with a star international cast. And I'm not alone in my view that it is the first really great Australian play. It's the story of Aussie working men named Roo and Barney. And for each of the past 17 years, they spent several months breaking their backs, toiling in the cane fields of Queensland. Then they've headed south to spend the summer with their pockets full of money to drink and party and have sex with two outgoing barmaids named Olive and Nancy. But this year, the 17th year, everything falls apart. The great Indigenous actor Kelton Pell plays Roo. Hi, Kelton.
How you going?
Nice to have you here. Jacob Allen is with us. He plays his rather treacherous mate, Barney. Hi, Jacob.
G'day. How you going?
And Amy Matthews is Olive.
That's right.
A woman who loves a good time.
Yeah, she's great. She's so much fun.
Yeah. She can't stop partying, that girl. And the director of all this is Adam Mitchell. G'day, Adam.
Hi there. How are you going?
Now, this is a play, Adam, from the 1950s. And as I say, it's been revered as a classic ever since. But it's immediately recognisable as an old Australia. Why are we doing it now?
I think it's probably the best play in the Australian canon. Do you know, Michael, it feels like a Eugene O'Neill or a Tennessee Williams or something.
And it is so exciting as a read.
Yeah, there's a lot of action.
And it's complex. That's what I loved about it. It wasn't dealing with coarse stereotypes, but these emotions are very complex. For example, Jacob Allen Barney, the bloke you play, I mean, he's a sort of lecherous, treacherous little runt, isn't he?
Well, he's someone who's very loyal, admittedly to his own sort of end, for his own gain, really. I mean, he's good fun.
Yeah.
He's good fun to play.
He's good fun. He's good fun to spend a night with, you know, out.
Well,
in the
that's
pub.
Right. I mean, that is a good, yeah, that is one good thing about him. Great fun to be with.
I wouldn't trust him, though. So, Kelton, you play Roo, who's certainly a man who's not operating at his full potential. He was once, you know, the hardest worker in the team. He was the leader of the pack, but he's had a tough year up there in Queensland.
Yep, come back empty pocket, and he's going to get himself a job.
And there's something about his masculinity that's kind of a bit broken.
He's turned a page, I think. Obviously, someone else in the gang is coming up and is taking him down. So I think in that sort of game, it was real dog-eat-dog and competition. You don't last too long bending down, cutting cane all day.
So let's talk about Olive, Amy Matthews. She loves these two men coming into her life every year for what Ray Lawler has called the layoff, a term he actually invented. What do you think it all means to her, these blokes who show up, burst into her life every year?
I think living in an urban environment in the early 50s, post-war, the kind of man that she comes across is a little bit boring, a little bit staid. And these men are strong and they're brave and they're physical, and I think that really excites her, and I totally get that. She's visceral.
I mean, it's not coy about sex, this play, is it? It's a very sexual play.
No, and I think it was before its time in that sense. You know, she's verbal about that. You know, she's passionate. She loves life. She loves sex and partying, and she wants to live life, to smoke it like a cigarette every day, you know?
All right. Adam, it would be great to have a scene. What are we going to hear?
We're going to hear a little conversation between Roo and Barney that Olive then arrives in. It's talking about the behaviour of Barney knocking on Pearl's bedroom door late last night.
So perhaps we should explain this, that Nancy has dropped out of the picture. She's gone off and got respectable and got married. And a new woman, Pearl, has been recruited to sort of take her place. And she's not sure she cares for lowering herself to this level, does she?
That's exactly right. It's a very tough position that Olive's put her in. And certainly the boozing that was happening the first night that they're down there and Barney's insistence at the bedroom door didn't help things.
After sleeping in that old camp stretcher, I can hardly move a muscle. It's true, you know. That little back room up there's no joke. I'm going to tell Olive.
Think she got the word already? All that fuss you made about it last night.
Oh, you heard, did you?
I couldn't help with lambing away at that poor woman's door.
What do you mean, lamb? And just tap lightly with me fingernails?
Whatever it was, she didn't like it.
Ah, too bad. Knows what she can do. What's the drum, then? How are we going to fill in the day?
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going looking for work.
and the layoff. Cut it out, will you? Joke's a bloody joke.
I told you on the plane coming down, I'm going to get a job.
Yeah, I know, but I thought once you got here, had a word with Olive.
You leave Olive out of it.
Well, me then, I got money.
I don't want your money. I can still earn me own, even if I've got a busted back.
Oh, it's all that lousy, rotten pride of yours, ain't it? You're mad at me because I didn't walk out with you up north.
I'm not mad at anything.
Yes, you are. By God, you are. Mad at me and twice as mad at young Dowd. Got a snout in that kid first time you ever saw him working.
Drop it, will you?
You what a mistake you made turning off Tony Marino.
Drop it or I'll bash your face in.
Righto. You go out and get yourself a job. See if I care. I'll find some way to amuse myself.
Barney, look, it's time that me and Pearl left for the pub. What is it?
Nothing. Just sorting out the day.
Should be trying to settle Pearl. Look, she wants to ring a taxi truck, pick up her belongings, because of all that silly fuss you made outside her bedroom door last night. You listening to me?
What?
Pearl, she wants to pack her bag and go.
Who cares? Let her.
Not like that, I won't. Going off thinking she's been made a fool
Never
of.
Never should have asked her here.
All right, but I did. And the least that you can do is to apologise. What is the matter with you anyway?
Roo's gone out to get himself a job.
No.
What he calls sorting out the day.
But I told him last night, no, he mustn't. Roo? Roo!
Kelton Pell as Roo, Jacob Allen as Barney and Amy Matthews as Olive in that scene from Summer of the 17th Doll by Ray Lawler. So why is Olive so upset that Roo's gone off to get a job?
It's the 17th summer that they've been coming down for these 5 months, and they mean a lot to Olive. She waits 7 months and for that 5 months to come along. I think there's something, a little arrested development about her, and she has this fantasy and she builds it up so much, and when it starts to change or fracture or you know, she just can't quite handle it. And she doesn't know why herself, and she sort of figures it out through the play.
I reckon it's because it's a little too much like being married.
Absolutely. She's a nonconformist. She doesn't like marriage, domesticity.
Soft city blokes. She doesn't like the soft city blokes, yeah. I think, as well, right?
Yep.
And there's something a bit demeaning for Roo, isn't there, Kelton, that he's gone off to get a job in a paint factory. Somehow that's that's not a real man's work. A real man's really doing the physical, hard physical yakka.
That's right, mate. You know, rolling them drums of stinking paint around. He doesn't like that.
Yeah.
I think Roo... It's turned another page and he wants to change his life. I think, you know, the 17 years has sort of done something to him, and Barney's got to drag him back to the house anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's gone off by himself and Barney's found him in Melbourne.
Yeah, he couldn't even face Olive. Couldn't even face the fact that he's got no money in his pocket. Yeah.
Never done it before.
Yeah, it's humiliating. He's a decent bloke, though, Roo, isn't he? I mean, I love Roo because he's a man who thinks things through, whereas the others are just living for today.
I've never seen the play before. I've never read the play. And it's an awesome opportunity for me to be, you know, blackfella playing this character of Roo. And, you know, I rang my mate David Field and Jeff Kelso and I said, look, I've been asked to do this play and what's this Roo like? And they go, mate, it's a great character, you got to go, you got to do it.
As you say, Kelton, you're an Indigenous West Australian. Does that play into the way we experience the play, the way the story
Not
unfolds?
Not this one.
No?
Roo's a character. He's an individual person. It's irrelevant what colour and race he is. He's a worker. He's a hard worker who goes down every year to be with his girl, to be with Olive, him and Barney, and it's something they do every year. So, you know, I think works, you know, they don't need to be messed with. And, you know, I had this talk about Stolen Generation. The Stolen Generation Act started in the early 1900s, late 1800s. So our people have been stolen from communities a long time before this play, you know, before this play was written. And there were even people out there, even today, who don't identify with their Aboriginal past because it has been, in one way or another, the Stolen Generation Act did succeed for some because it was a total dislocation of country, race and people.
So it's perfectly believable that Roo is that kind of guy.
Yeah, he's just a bloke. Some people who have seen the play before have seen white actors do it in the past and they're going to see a black fella come up there as Roo, and they're going to have their own perceptions in their minds about Aboriginal people. You know, that's a beautiful thing about theatre. We can get into people's heads and actually change their way of thinking. And a lot of people don't even understand what's happening. What's happening to me? You're changing. Yes. That's what we want to do.
One production at a time.
Yeah, so, you know, it's I'm just, you know, honoured to be a part of this production, and I hope I do, you know, Roo justice.
Adam Mitchell, every State Theatre Company has performed this play, often several times. I think this is the first time Black Swan has done it. I gather that you're drawing a parallel between Roo and Barney in today's fly-in, fly-out workers, which is such a big issue in West Australia. Is that going to be a subtext that the audience will experience, or is that something you've just been working on in your own head?
I'll be in the high viz for most of the play.
The high viz gear is and the witch's hats are giveaways, Michael. look, it's hard to avoid that resonance, I think, when you do this play, particularly in here in Western Australia. But, you know, it's not something that we're particularly focused on in the rehearsal room. You know, we're dealing with human beings that have big ideas of what they want, and that's why the play works. Yes, there's a contemporary resonance, but I don't think it affects too much as what's happening in the rehearsal room, Michael.
Well, chukka's for opening night. It's just a wonderful play, and that reading you just gave us was fabulous. So I'm sure that the audience there in Western Australia is in for an absolute treat. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks very much.
The Summer of the 17th Doll, one of the great plays of the 20th century. It's by Ray Lawler, and you can see it presented by Black Swan at the Heath Ledger Theatre in Perth from the 5th through to the 20th of May. And you met the director, Anna Mitchell, along with performers Kelton Pell, Amy Matthews and Jacob Allen. On RN, this is The Hub on Stage, on air and on podcast. I'm Michael Cathcart.